You're listening to a classic business podcast as heard on Classic 1027. 1027. This is the Classic Business SME feature.
Well, picture the scene. You're an optimist and a risk taker. It's 2013. It's the height of the state capture years. And sentiment in the country is sour, to say the least. But you go and found a business anyway with a handful of your trusted lieutenants with the aim of taking on the big boys in the liquor trade. And you land on your feet, surprisingly, and actually start experiencing exponential growth the past few years at 300% year on year. You're riding figuratively on the crest of a wave. An all-round success story. You've now got over 100 employees until now, obviously, when no alcohol sales are allowed in the country. So what do? Well, you pivot, to use a well-worn entrepreneurial phrase. Rowan Liebrandt, founder and co-owner of premium drinks company Truman and Orange, is doing exactly that. Rowan, it's quite a bump back down to earth, considering the growth that you were experiencing. Welcome to the SME feature. How are you finding operating at a time when you can't sell your product in chief?
Yes, hi, Michael. This part of it was unexpected, wasn't it? I mean, you do anticipate as a startup trying to become a medium-sized company, you obviously expect these bumps along the way. But at no point did we think that there was going to be a sort of total alcohol prohibition for, you know, the best part of 2 months. So I have to say that caught us a bit by surprise. It's an interesting one, isn't it? I mean, it's almost like you're getting, you know, no matter how big a company you are, you almost, I can kind of envisage them all having to basically start to behave like startups, and kind of, it seems like even the biggest companies now are living with that, the kind of stress of potentially not being able to pay salaries and kind of basically thinking like small companies. They've probably all got that level of stress now. I thought we'd left that behind, but apparently not.
Well, I think it's quite remarkable how it's leveled the playing field. I was just chatting to my market commentators about what Distell's proposing to turn bars into beer collection points, as it's looking to innovate at this time, which is exactly the kind of startup mindset. So what would your advice be for startups who are looking to navigate these coronavirus-infested waters and come out on the other side unscathed?
Gosh, I'm always so nervous of giving advice. You know, we're kind of halfway through this crisis. Well, hopefully we're more than halfway through the crisis. But, you know, by no means the things that we're doing are the sort of holy grail. You know, it's to be seen whether it's going to have to be successful. I mean, I'd say one thing for startups is that, you know, consider yourself lucky that you're not a much, much bigger company, I think would be sort of one of the ways that we're thinking about it. You know, one of the things that we've discovered is that a company at a certain scale, it's just much more manageable. You know, we don't have the enormous overhead that a business like Distell would have or SAB would have. And what we found is that, you know, the ability to kind of get your arms around a business of a smaller scale, understand it, and basically manage your costs, I think it must be just so much harder in a larger business. Having said that, you've obviously got a much bigger balance sheet, so, you know, you are sort of insured in other areas. But I'd say the first thing for a startup business is find a way of looking at this positively, because if you can't do that, you've kind of got no hope on the other side.
And then I'm sure a lot of small businesses and startups have already been doing this, but manage your cash flow. Find out who still owes your money, and if they haven't paid yet, why, and start focusing on your debt as a whole lot more, to ensure that you've at least got some kind of cash flow coming in to buffer you at this period. How much runway did you have going into the crisis?
Yeah, I mean, that's a very good point, isn't it? What's that saying about managing your cash flow? It's managing you, and you just don't know it. But I mean, I think certainly as a drink startup, you know, our receivables were just sort of taken away from us. There is no management of that. You know, it just stopped because you don't have any revenue effectively. So we were, I use the word lucky in a kind of nervously, but we were lucky in the sense that our objectives was quite simple. You know, our objective became to manage our creditors and to talk to our staff, because, you know, these were the two people who we owed money to. Our creditors have been amazingly understanding, flexible. I mean, I think a lot of that is because we've just spent so much time on the phone. I kind of recognize something quite interesting in this, is that how few people actually pick up the phone when they owe somebody else money. for whatever reason, culturally, we might find it embarrassing. Some people just don't like to do it. I mean, it's never a comfortable conversation. But what we found is that if you're prepared to pick up the phone and talk to somebody and then follow up 2 weeks later, even if you don't have any new information, you're doing more than 99% of everyone else out there. And I think you can actually turn that inability to pay, but that propensity to over-communicate, I think you can turn it into something quite positive.
And it's all about, the keys right now is building relationships. I was having a chat to one of the heads of training at the South African Chefs Association earlier today. We're hosting a roundtable on the impact of COVID-19 on the restaurant industry. Chefs are not earning at the moment. Well, what they're doing is they're going out there and they're working in philanthropic endeavors, in soup kitchens and elsewhere, and using that to build relationships, to build networks, because we get stuck in a crisis thinking, well, it's going to be like this forever, and it won't. There is going to be a long term here.
Yeah, I think that's such a good point, isn't it? Is that, you know, when things are good, people don't, you know, when things are good and you behave well, people don't judge you by that behavior because it's kind of consistent with the environment. But when I think things are bad and you behave well, I think people take note of that. You sort of leave them with something memorable. And all that can mean is just, you know, the preparedness to pick up the phone and talk more often and explain and say sorry and, give people some visibility and a kind of plan. I'm more talking about from the payment perspective now, but you do that and you're kind of in congruence with the rest of the world and we're hoping will be remembered.
Yeah, it stands out. I mean, it stands to reason that it will be remembered because it stands out. How are you thinking about the long term?
So one of the things we always joke about, I'm the absolute optimist in our, I've got a partner. Not that he's a pessimist, he describes himself as a realist, but he's a pessimist in reality. I'm the guy who walks, I walk on the sunny side of the road. My instinct is that we'll look back on this in 2-3 years' time and we'll hardly remember it. It'll be these unusual, weird sort of 2 missing months that we'll sort of remember, but we'll have gone on to kind of do other things. You know, we would have hopefully sort of steamrolled past it. I think the approach we're taking, we talk a lot about short-term pessimism, long-term optimism, and they're two kind of conflicting things. But I think if you can hold them in your head, which is a bit of a struggle, you might go a bit cross-eyed. But if you can kind of do that, I think that might be the sort of entrepreneurial sweet spot.
And that is the tricky part, because it's managing the emotional angst of being stuck in the short-term pessimism while trying to lift your gaze into the horizon and say, well, there is an opportunity. People are going to emerge from their hibernation, and they're going to want to drink again, and they're going to want to drink premium drinks. They're not just going to want to drink any old drink, because you know what? In lockdown, you couldn't drink anything. So I'm going to splash out and go and recognize those opportunities. That's why entrepreneurship is so fascinating. It is as much about the MBA type science and strategy as it is about the art and the emotion and walking on the sunny side of the road. Rowan Liebrandt, founding co-owner of premium drinks company Truman and Orange, sharing some of his sunnier insights with us here in the SME slot.